How's it going, Iowa? You know you've got a pretty good show when I'm the third best speaker. I am third. I know you came here to see Michelle. Because one of the things we've discovered during the course of this campaign is, let's face it, Michelle's a little better than I am. Fortunately, she is too smart to want to be president. She would rather tell the president what to do. And then there's this woman with a funny name. Woman with a funny name come from some little town in the South. Nobody would have thought that she would become somebody who moves an entire nation each and every day. I sent Oprah an email last night. I said, it looks like a lot of people are going to come tomorrow. I guess you're pretty popular. Who would have thunk it? But, well, listen, I love you back. But let me tell you how much Michelle and I love Oprah Winfrey. Because, you know, one of the wonderful things about this campaign is meeting people from all walks of life. And I tell you, the more I meet the American people, the more convinced I am of your decency and your generosity of spirit. But I have to tell you, sometimes celebrities will disappoint you. That's my point. Some of them, you know, you get there and you go, aw. You know, they were on TV and they looked so nice, and they're being mean. Or they look so tall, and it turns out they're kind of short. But Oprah Winfrey, the more we've known her, the more spectacular you realize her character and her soul is. This is a wonderful person. We love her. I'm grateful for her being here. She's getting embarrassed. She doesn't want me to talk about her anymore. But all I want to say is this. I am under no illusions. We've had some big crowds here in Iowa. We have not had this big crowd in Iowa. So there are some people here who are here to see Oprah. And I'm sort of a byproduct of that, and I appreciate that, but what I know is that for her to take the risk of stepping out of her comfort zone is extraordinary. And it's a testimony to her courage and her friendship. And so I want everybody to give the biggest round of applause that you can to my friend, Oprah Winfrey. Give it up for Oprah. We love Oprah. They love you. All right. Yeah. It's all about Iowa. All right. You know, I love you back. I really do. Michelle and I were just talking last night about just the extraordinary experience we've had here in Iowa. This state has been so welcoming to us. The people have been so hospitable. Even those who aren't caucusing for me, they're nice to me. You know, they'll say, well, you know, I'm not caucusing for you, but I really like you. You're a nice young man. And your wife, I just love your wife. And your kids are so pretty. So there's a spirit here, not only of warmth and family and community, but there's also a seriousness of purpose. People are paying attention here in Iowa. And that's why during the course of this campaign, when some of the national polls were showing us way down and everybody's saying, oh, Obama, this isn't going to happen, all I knew was in Iowa, folks were paying attention. In Iowa, something else was going on. In Iowa, we looked like we were doing pretty good. And part of the reason that you are paying such close attention is you understand what is stake. Well, there you go. I wouldn't have quite put it that way, but a little less than a year from today, you will be going into the voting booth and selecting the next president of the United States of America. And here's the good news. The name George W. Bush will not be on the ballot. The name of my cousin, Dick Cheney, will not be on the ballot. That was kind of embarrassing. You know, when they do these genealogies, you hope, you know, that you're related to, you know, Dr. King or, you know, Alexander the Great or Oprah. But Dick Cheney. Anyway, his name's not going to be on the ballot. And I'm not going to the family hunting party. I'm not going. The era of Scooter Libby justice and Brownie incompetence and Karl Rove politics will finally be over. But when you caucus on January 3rd, and I know everybody here will be caucusing, if you can come out on a cold, windy day like today, you can come out on January 3rd and make your voices heard. When you caucus on January 3rd, and then when you go in to the voting booth next November, there's another question that you're going to have to ask yourself. You're going to have to ask yourself, what is next for America? Because we are at a defining moment in our history. The nation is at war. The planet is in peril. The dreams that so many generations fought for feels as if it's slowly slipping away. We're working harder for less. We've never paid more for high school, for college, or for health care, or gas at the pump. It's harder to save, and it's harder to retire. And all of us have lost faith that our leaders can or will do anything about it. And no wonder we've lost faith. You think about the past 7 years. We were promised compassionate conservatism, and we got Katrina and wiretaps instead. We were promised a uniter, an And instead got a president who could not even lead the half of the country that voted for him. We were promised a more ethical and more efficient Washington. Instead have a town that is more corrupt and more wasteful than it was before. And the only mission that was ever accomplished was to use fear and falsehood to take this nation into a war that should have never been authorized and should have never been waged. So people have lost trust in their leadership. It is because of these failures over the last 7 years that America is listening intently to what the candidates are saying in this election. Not just Democrats, but Republicans and independents who have lost trust in their leaders but want to believe again. Want to believe that it's still possible for us to rally around a common destiny. And it's for that same reason that we are at a unique moment, a moment of both great challenge but also great opportunity. We have the chance, comes around maybe once a generation, for us to come together and finally tackle problems that George Bush may have made far worse, but were festering long before George Bush ever took office. We've been talking about the healthcare crisis for decades now through Democratic and Republican administrations. We've been talking about the energy crisis for decades now through Republican and Democratic administrations. We've been talking about poverty in the inner city for decades now through Democratic and Republican administrations. This is our chance to finally tackle problems that have festered for too long. The gap between the ideal of America and the reality. And it's because we are in that moment, unique moment, that running the same old conventional textbook Washington campaign this time out just won't do. Avoiding answering tough questions because we're worried about what folks might say, that it might not be popular, that just won't do. Telling the American people what we think they want to hear instead of what they need to hear just won't do this time out. Poll testing our positions so that we don't get attacked by Mitt or Rudy or Fred or whoever else might attack us just won't do. Not this time, not in this election, not at this moment. If we are going to bring about real change in this election, if we really want to win this election, then we can't live in fear of losing it. We can't have a timid politics. We need a bold politics. I am a proud Democrat, and I know there may be folks in here who aren't Democrats. You know, everywhere we go, we've been seeing these huge crowds, and you know, we get all kinds of folks, young people and old people, and folks of every race and every religion. We get Democrats and independents. We always get a few Republicans. I know this because they whisper to me when I'm shaking hands afterwards. They say, "Barack, I'm a Republican, but I support you." And I say, "Thank you. Why are we whispering?" It's true. But you want Oprah as vice president? But, yeah, that would be a demotion, you understand that. But I'm a proud Democrat, and I welcome everybody to be engaged in this campaign, but I'm a proud Democrat because when I think about the Democratic Party, the party of Jefferson and Jackson, of Roosevelt and Kennedy, I am reminded that we are a party that has always been at its best when it leads not by polls but by principles, not by calculation but by conviction. When we summon an entire nation, we summon an entire nation around the challenges that a great nation must meet. And that is the kind of party that we need the Democratic Party to be right now. That is the reason that I'm running for President of the United States, because I want to lead a party that's not timid but bold, a party that is leading, a party that is not just talking about change as a slogan, but real meaningful change. A party that is interested not just in how to win an election, but why we should win an election. That's the reason I'm running for President of the United States of America. And that's why I need your support, Iowa, to bring about a change. We've got somebody down here. Do we already have the paramedic coming? Okay. Are you a paramedic right here? Okay, why don't you let her slide through? Sorry for the interruption, guys. All right. This is what happens. Folks get too excited about Oprah. No, I don't want you passing out either. I am running for President of the United States to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. More than any other candidate in this race, I have pushed back against the special interests in Washington. They have not funded my campaign. They will not work in my White House, and they will not drown out the voices of the American people when I'm President of the United States of America. I'm in this race to take away tax breaks from companies that are shipping jobs overseas and start putting them in the pockets of hardworking Americans who deserve it. And I won't be raising the minimum wage every 10 years. We're going to raise the minimum wage every single year to keep pace with inflation. Because if you're working, you shouldn't be poor in America. If you're trying to do the right thing, you should not be poor in America. We are a wealthy enough nation to make sure that everybody is cared for in America. That's why I'm running for President of the United States of America. I'm in this race because I'm tired of talking about the outrage of 47 million people without health insurance. I want to start doing something about it. And this is personal for me. You know, when my mother was 53 years old, she died of cancer. And that was tragic enough. But I remember in those last months of her life, she wasn't thinking about how to get well. She wasn't taking stock of her own mortality. She was reading insurance forms because she had just gotten a new job, and the insurance companies were saying maybe this was a pre-existing condition and we won't reimburse you for your medical bills. So I know what it's like to see a loved one suffer, not just because they're sick, but because of a broken healthcare system. And that's the reason why I'm going to make sure that every single American has the ability to get healthcare that is as good as the health care I have as a member of Congress. And we won't do it 20 years from now or 10 years from now. We will do it by the end of my first term as President of the United States of America. I'm in this race to make sure that every child in America has the best education we have to offer. From the day they're born to the day they graduate from college. The only reason I am standing here today is because I had a good education. I was raised by a single mother. We didn't have a lot of wealth. I didn't come from a famous family. But I got a good education. And we talk about education a lot, but sometimes we lose that sense of urgency. You know, when I was working as an organizer, I'd go into low-income communities, and you saw kids 5, 6, 7 years old, their eyes as bright as any children around. And yet you already knew they were 2, 3 years behind. And you'd ask them, what do they want to do? And they'd say, I want to be a doctor, and I want to be a lawyer. And you knew that the odds were they wouldn't make it because we had not made the investment that was necessary. So we're going to make the investment when I'm president of the United States. We will invest in early childhood education so kids are prepared when they start school. And I won't just talk about, I'm not just going to talk about how great teachers are. I will reward them for their greatness by paying them more money and giving them more support. And I don't know about you, but I think it's about time we make college affordable and accessible for every single child in America. We're wealthy enough to do that. Why not? Let's begin to create a new future for our children. That's why I'm in it. I'm in this race because I'm tired of Democrats thinking the only way to look tough on national security is to vote and act and talk like George Bush. When I'm president of the United States, they won't be able to say that I was for the war because I wasn't. When I'm the nominee of this Democratic Party, they won't be able to say that I supported the saber rattling and war talk that we've heard over the last month because that's not what I believe. When I am this party's nominee, the other side won't be able to say that I thought it might be okay to torture because it's never okay to torture. That's not who we are as a people. That's not what America stands for around the world. As President of the United States, I will bring this war to an end. I will bring our troops hope. I will bring our troops home within 16 months. We will shut down Guantanamo because we're not a nation that locks people up without charging them. We'll restore habeas corpus. We will take the fight to Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and finish the job that we started. And we will lead the world to meet the challenges of the 21st century. Nuclear proliferation and terrorism, but also climate change and poverty and genocide and disease. Those are threats to our security as well. And I will send a message to those yearning faces across our shores that says, you matter to us. Your future is our future. And our moment is now. Iowa, our moment is now. America, our moment is now. I don't want to spend the next 4 years re-arguing all the same arguments and getting no results. I don't want to pit red America against blue America. I want to be the president of the United States of America. Some people ask, just as Oprah mentioned, why now? You know, I am not running to fulfill some long-held plans. I know that there were some talk out there about what I was writing in kindergarten. I'm going to be disclosing all my kindergarten papers tomorrow. I couldn't write an essay back then. I think I could write my name and mom, M-O-M. But that's not why I'm running. I'm not running because I think it's somehow owed to me. My presence here today is unlikely, just like Oprah is unlikely. We share that in common. The odds say we should not be here. I always knew this journey would be improbable. I've never been on a journey that wasn't. But I am running now because of what Dr. King called the fierce urgency of now. Because I believe there's such a thing as being too late, and that moment is almost upon us. I don't want to wake up 4 years from now and find out that millions of people still don't have health insurance because we didn't have the courage to take on the insurance industry. I don't want to wake up 4 years from now and find out that we've been losing more jobs overseas and unions have been losing ground and ordinary people are having a tougher time and losing their homes because nobody was willing to look out for Main Street the same way Washington right now looks out for Wall Street. I don't want to see 4 years from now that the oceans have risen a few more inches and the planet has reached the point of no return because we couldn't figure out a way of freeing ourselves from fossil fuels and not buying oil from dictators. I don't want to see that. I don't want to find out that we've put more American lives at risk in a misguided war because no one had the judgment or the courage to ask the tough questions before we sent our troops off to fight. I don't want to see homeless veterans on the streets. I don't want to send another generation of children through failing schools. I don't want that future for our daughter. I don't want that future for your sons. I don't want that future for America. So, the reason I'm running now is the same reason that I moved to Chicago over 20 years ago to work with steel workers who had lost their jobs and to rebuild communities that had fallen on hard times, to give jobs to the jobless, to some hope to the hopeless. The same reason I fought for justice and equality as a civil rights attorney. The same reason that I fought for Illinois families for over two decades. Because I know that the only reason I'm standing here today, Iowa, is because somebody, somewhere, sometime, stood up when it was risky. They stood up when it was hard. They stood up when it was unpopular. And because somebody stood up, a few more stood up. And then a few thousand stood up. And then a few million stood up. And standing up with courage and conviction, we somehow managed to change the world. Iowa, I need you to stand up so that our children have the same chances somebody gave me. I need you to stand up for those who still hunger for opportunity and those who still thirst for justice. On January 3rd, I need you to stand up with me. I need you to caucus for me. I need you to stop settling for what the cynics say is possible. I need you to reach for what you know in your hearts is possible. A nation healed, a world repaired, and an America that believes again. Thank you, Iowa. I love you.